At the risk of sounding petulant, I don't want to speak about the baptism of Jesus again. Oh, this happened this morning too. Just because it was this morning's subject. And if you wish to, you can listen to those thoughts on our YouTube channel, or probably tomorrow they'll be available on our website. You can even download the sound file and listen to me on the go. Now, isn't that nice? I mean, I could talk about Jesus' baptism again and the particular spin that Luke puts on it, as that was the reading we've just heard. But I did a bit of compare and contrast with the gospel accounts this morning of Jesus' baptism. And I will probably save a closer look at Luke for when we go through that particular gospel in late 2027. So I don't want to bring on the surprise too soon. So let's look at our reading from Joshua for this evening. Chosen, it seems, because it mentions water on this, the festival of the Christ, the baptism of Christ. We have this story of being in the wilderness of Shittim near the River Jordan. And there's an entry through that river into the promised land by the people of Israel. If it seems a bit familiar, it's because it's Joshua's origin story. Joshua, or Jesus in Greek, has taken over from Moses, who led the Israelites from Egypt to freedom, though he was not permitted to enter the promised land. And you'll remember that Moses famously takes the children of Israel through the Red Sea. So Joshua gets his own parting of the waters to establish his place as a successor to Moses, and to create a sense of completion, as having passed through water to escape slavery, the tribes that make up Israel now pass through water to the land of promise. But honestly, this is all probably myth with a limited foundation in history. In fact, there's little to no evidence that the tribes of Israel were ever in Egypt. And the families that made up the Israel that became dominant in Canaan may not have been from anywhere other than Canaan. I've spent the afternoon reading articles from the Biblical Archaeological Society. Yes, I do these things so you don't have to. Which explores the origin of Israel from the perspective of the historical archaeological record. And I found that the best summary was this, which I want to quote wholesale and not try and put into my own words. Many modern scholars, however, subscribe to various permutations of the social revolution model, in which the earliest Israelites were originally disaffected Canaanites, who fled their oppressive overlords in the urban centers in the coastal region and headed for the central hill country. There, they met a few Yahwists, worshippers of the deity Yahweh, who had lived in southern Canaan under Egyptian influence, or perhaps they had escaped from Egypt. The two groups entered into a covenant with each other and became Israel. Most of the models of Israelite origins circulating today are variations on this theme of indigenous origins, which has come to predominate in the academy. End quote. Now, as intimated here, these are models, and there are many variations of them. Some are more dismissive of the existence of the patriarchs of Hebrew myth, Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, Jacob and Rachel and Leah and Zilpah and Bilhah, Moses, Aaron and Miriam, etc., etc. Some believe that these stories, if not literally true, have some grounding in history. Others say it's all made up, as myth often is. True without being literally true, as I often say. And I say all of this because I believe we all need to be willing to examine our faith, our stories, ourselves, as new information and new understandings arrive. One of my greatest sadnesses is how many people don't evolve or allow their faith to evolve beyond their initial entry-level approach. When I was chaplain to the Imperial College of Science, Technology and Medicine in South Kensington in London, England, back in the 1990s, this university, referred to by some as the MIT of Europe, had students with, as one of my colleagues said, world-class intellects and Sunday school faith. So many of us on this faith journey, this dance of spirituality, find ourselves threatened by the call with needing to continue wrestling with the stories, the traditions, the teachings of our faith, as if our beliefs were a house of cards waiting to collapse if the wrong one gets pulled out. But when we refuse or struggle to examine our assumptions and what we've been taught too closely, we miss out on the depth and the breadth of the stories our ancients have handed down to us. Like, why is the River Jordan so important? What does crossing through the water mean? And why has it become so central in our baptismal rituals? Why do our Hebrew and Christian origin stories have so many layers and so few certainties? Being willing to keep questioning, or to quote singer-songwriter Martin Joseph, willing to treasure the questions, keeps us moving and growing, living and learning together on this great adventure that is faith. And to quote Peter Pan, it is an awfully big adventure. Amen.